What's up, what's up, what's up? Everybody good? Come on, come on. Hey, can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? Glad you're watching. Hope God speaks to you today, ministers to you, got something special for you. Hey, listen, it is Mother's Day, and I am really excited about that, fired up. We all love our mamas. And, you know, I want to do something that we've probably never done before. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, talks about mothers. And there's one verse in here that just jumps off the page, and I want to just kind of live out the Bible for just a minute, if that's cool with you. This is what it says in Proverbs 31, verse 28. It says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. So, for all the kids and the husbands in the house, can we stand for our mamas and praise them and bless them and tell them thank you for what you've done for us, mamas? You deserve to be honored. And we thank you for who you are, and you bless us like crazy. And so you're our heroes. You are like the real superheroes, all right? And so we honor you today. And listen, it's gonna be a little bit different. We're starting a new series today called Home Improvement. We're gonna start a new series on parenting and family and marriage. And we're starting today with moms, and we're gonna end with daddies on Father's Day, and all in between is gonna be basically home improvement. And I'm hoping and praying that you'll enjoy it, have a blast, learn a lot, get convicted about some things that will help you move forward and closer to Jesus in large things. But I really believe everybody needs to come and be a part, okay? Because I really believe God's gonna do something. As you could tell, it looks a little bit different. Look like I got a gigantic podium up here with lots of water because I'm really thirsty. But we got something we're gonna do here in just a minute, and I'll explain it to you. But before we do that, I wanna take a moment of the service. This is more of a serious time. I really want to talk to the ladies in here that it took a lot of courage to get out today. For a lot of ladies and even guys in this room, it is more of a painful day than it is a celebrating time of day for you. Because, you know, there's five different people in here that I really want us to pray for today. And we're going to take some time out to pray for you. And if you're here today, and this is a painful day for you, I just want to tell you as a pastor, hey, thank you for mustering up the courage to come and prayerfully let us love on you. Let us pray for you. Even though we might not even know what's going on in your life, God does. And we just I'm just glad you're here. I'm just glad you're here because I know for a lot of you it took some courage. But what I want to do is I want to pray for five different people. I want to pray for parents in here who want a baby, who are struggling to have a baby, all right? Fertility stuff. I mean, they're really, really struggling. You've been praying forever. And by the way, I just want to let you know, it's absolutely amazing. Every Mother's Day, we usually pray for this kind of stuff. And it's absolutely amazing how many people get pregnant after these prayers. All right? And I ain't going to promise you anything, but it is amazing how many people, some of them get pregnant with triplets and twins. Just want to give you like the triple blessing, a double blessing. All right? But listen, I know you're going through a lot. It's very difficult. It causes depression at times. It's hard for the husband and the wife. And so we want to pray for you. We also want to pray for people in this room that's lost their moms. Your mom's not here. She's already gone to be with the Lord prayerfully. And we want to pray for you because Mother's Day is a day that you just remember your mom, and it's a hard time for you. We also want to pray for people in this room that just need a mom. They've been longing for a relationship with a mom, and they've never really had that. And I'm praying that God puts somebody around you that's a mother figure, some way, form, or fashion. Because there's people all in this room right here that could be a mother figure for you, all right? I also want to pray for the single moms in the house that has to do the role of two people. You have to do the role of a man and a woman. There's single moms that I know has got two or three jobs. There's single moms in this room that's got to raise kids. Some of them got to raise boys, and that's difficult. And so somebody said, yeah, in Jesus' name. Come on. Hey, I'm on somebody's level right now in Jesus' name. And so I want to pray for single moms in the house. And we love you. And we thank you for what you do, okay? I know it's not easy, and it's a difficult thing. And then the hardest one that I don't even like saying, but I want to pray for moms in the house that's lost a child, whether it be through losing them in your womb or just losing them, period. I know that I hate even saying that because I don't want to bring it up, but I know that's a difficult thing. And I want us as a family, as a church family, to pray for the people around us that are going. We may not even know who they are, but there's a good possibility there's people in this room. So can we start that way? Can we pray? All right, let's do that. Father, in Jesus' name, let's pray, church. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the people in this room, moms, and I pray for even dads, God, that are want to be dads, that can't have children, that are wanting to have babies, that God are just struggling right now. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd fill their wounds with a child, and that God, you would bless them. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that God, they would get news on that, and they would celebrate it, and that God, they'd be reminded about this prayer, that God, you love them and desire to be a part of their lives. And God, I pray that God, just like in Psalm 139, where you knit the babies in the mother's womb, I pray that that would happen now as we speak, Father. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for those in this room that's lost their mom. God, today is a very painful day because it reminds them of their mom that's not here anymore. God, it's very difficult. And God, I thank you, Father, for giving them the courage to get out and come today. Lord, I pray you to wrap them up. I pray that you'd hold them. The same hands that created the universe would be the same hands that hold these ladies and these men in this room who have lost a mom. Father, I pray for the people in this room that just desire a relationship with a mom that's never really had one. God, I pray that you'd put a mother figure in their life that would treat them as a mom and that would love them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that God, you would bless them, that you'd move on them, and that God, you'd just wrap them up and let them know that you're near. Lord, I pray for single moms in the house. Lord, I thank you for them. I pray you'd give them the energy they need. I pray you'd give them the wisdom they need. God, I pray that God, you'd give them the stamina and the strength to be a mom and to do everything that, God, one person doing everything that two, it takes two to do. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless those moms in Jesus' name. Have your hand on them. Give them patience. Wrap them up, Father. Lord, and I pray for those in this room that's lost a child. Lord, I can't imagine what they're dealing with. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that God, you would hold them, that God, you would allow them to experience Philippians chapter 4, that you'd give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that God, you'd let them know that you're for them and that you're near them, and that God, help us as the body of Christ to know how to grieve with people like that. God, help us to wrap them up and to love them. Lord, we honor you, we love you, and thank you, Jesus, for who you are in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Now listen, today is Mother's Day, and I felt like it would be wrong, almost, kind of, sort of. I mean, I could preach a message on mothers. I've got the Bible here, and we could preach it, but I'll be honest with you, not a mom, never been a mom, never will be a mom, and so I'm sitting there thinking, like, how in the world am I going to tell moms how to be moms, all right? I could probably preach a message, but I still don't think I could give it justice, because only moms know how to be moms. And so what I have done today is, as I've asked three very special people in my life who are moms to come and help me out with moms today, okay? And so these are people that I love. These are the most special, three of the most special women in my life. And so I've got my mom, I've got my sister, and I got my lovely bride. I got my wife, Leah. So y'all come on out here. Y'all welcome my mom. This is my mom right here. This is my sister, Molly. And this is my lovely wife, Leah, and I am so excited that they are going to help me today because I need all we can. And so I've already told them that, you know, the first service scared me slapped to death. The first service was slam packed out. And I know that there's three people on this stage. Y'all can guess which three does not have a filter. And so there's times that I need them to remember that there's thousands of people watching at times. Guess who the three don't have filters are? It's not this one. I promise you, all right? She's got the better filter than the rest of us. She can keep us on the DL. And so I've asked him, like, please just, like, you know, just ask Jesus for a filter right now. And I think we all get that from mom on the end because she's the worst. Come on. And so basically I've asked them, like, just for a little fun. I mean, just some stories. I asked them to come out and share stories. Now, the first service, we shared, like, every service was like potty training, poopy, like, stories. Like, do we have any other stories besides number two? All right. And so if you want to share it, you're welcome to. But who wants to go? Mom, you just want to share some stories? I mean, everybody's got, how many of y'all got stories of your kids? Throw them out there. See if you can identify with some of these stories.
I no.
You don't? Okay. Well, you shared one earlier about Molly.
But that's a poopy one.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and share it. It's okay. We'll start with that one, then Molly and them can't. Share that. Do you want to share yours, Molly? Molly, go ahead and share yours.
I wasn't telling a poopy story.
Because your son's here and it'll be awesome.
Not doing a poopy story. This is another story.
Okay.
So, you have to think him up between services because he's afraid of what we might say. Anyway, so have any of your moms ever been so proud of your children and you're just glowing and you're walking, you're proud, and then they do something where you're like, oh my God. I was having one of those moments with my oldest one. His very first day of kindergarten, I sent him off to school. And I'm going to tell you something. It's tough. How many of you have sent your child off to school for the first day of kindergarten? It was like the worst day ever. And so you sent him off for the first day of, you know, first grade, second, whatever. Anyway, so he went to kindergarten. And when I picked him up, I was in the car rider line like an hour and a half early to go back and get him, right? So he comes and he gets in the car. And I said, hey, how was your first day at school? He says, it was good. I said, good. I said, did you learn anything? He says, yes. I said, what did you learn? He said, I learned that you do not talk without permission. I said, no, that's right. You don't talk without permission. And he said, you do not get out of your seat without permission. I said, no, you do not get out of your seat without permission. And then he says, oh, you have to raise your hand to get permission. And I said, you've learned so much, it's great. And so he got real caught in the back. He says, Mom, what is permission? We take for granted sometimes some of the things that we tell our kids, we think they know. But he, all day long, he was learning about permission, but he didn't know what it was.
Mama, tell him the old school story about Molly.
An old school story about Molly. Back in the olden days, we didn't have Pampers and all that stuff, so we used the cloth diapers. And I know some of the young girls these days want to start with the cloth diapers and all, and good luck with that. Especially if you have to have rubber pants that when you wash them in the washing machine, they get all crinkly and crack and everything leaks out.
I have no clue what you're talking about, but it's all good. I'm sure I wore.
Well, no, a lot of you won't know that, but us older ones do know that. But anyway, Molly, the stubborn little girl she always was.
God set her free from that.
No. Molly didn't want to be potty trained. And so we had her in panties, and so she...
That was your fault.
she didn't want to be potty trained, but so she had an accident, which probably wasn't one. And her grandmother, the kid's dad's mother, grandmother took Molly downstairs to the bathroom and made her wash out her underwear in the commode.
At two?
About two and a half, and it was like, washy, washy, washy.
They had to
washy,
sing.
Washy, washy, washy.
Do you remember that song? We're going to sing it next week at church.
I have no idea.
But it worked, ladies. If you're using the cloth diapers and you're trying to potty train your kid, it worked two times.
Come on. Did anybody else have that experience at all? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, we're a weird family. It's all good. me and Lee could tell stories all day, but...
I'm just saying, I came along after that point, so.
Thank you, Jesus, for Walmart and Pampers.
No, I was thinking of a story about our kids, and I remembered something that happened this past Christmas. And we have this picture that we hang on the wall at Christmas, and it says, they followed the star. And I just assume, you know, everybody knows who that is, and so I'm thinking my kids, surely they've grown up in church, they're pastor's kids, they should know the story. So I randomly ask, you know, Caleb, do you know who followed the star? And he said, I think it was the three disciples. And then he said, no, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then I was like, oh. So me and Andy started from that point. We were like, okay, let's start with Adam and Eve here. Let's go through the story.
No, everything's the three disciples. I asked him about the fiery furnace. Who were the three people in the fiery furnace? He goes, the three disciples. I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, we're way ahead.
They played a big role, okay?
Yeah. Y'all pray for her. I'm just your pastor. I'm trying to pastor my kids.
That's
going
right.
Over like a pregnant pole vaulter.
Yeah.
Well, I want y'all to help us help moms in the house and basically just kind of give us some wisdom today in how to be a mom and maybe better ourselves as I say us. I'm not a mom, but y'all know what I'm saying. So in our culture of like social media and people posting perfect moments of their lives, there are a lot of women that probably think that they're surrounded by moms that are moms that have it all together. Is there anybody in the house that feel like there are other ladies that's got it all together besides yourself? Anybody feel that way? Okay, there's a few of you. So let me ask you a question. What do you want to tell mamas here who may already have little bitties, who may be just getting started with it? What do you want to tell them about being a mom? When you want to start, mama, whoever wants to start.
We don't have it together.
Yeah.
We have no clue. We are, it's, I really want to, I can't say that, but.
Thank you, Jesus. He rescued us. God's, the anointing of God just came down and smite my mom.
When you become a mom, a lot of it's instinct. But don't think we have it together. We are trying just as hard as the rest of you. Even being a grandmother, you're still learning and trying to be the best that you can, but you don't have a clue.
That just wanted to bless your heart, Mom.
I agree. It's just a wing and a prayer. God, don't let me kill them today, please. Let them live just one more day. I agree. I do think sometimes people think everybody's got it together, but the truth of the matter is that we just... make decisions on the fly, figuring it out as we go along. And a lot of the things I say you can't do is because I've already made that mistake in the past, and I've got hurt before, broke my face or my arm or whatever before, and so you can't do it now because I've done it then. And you just, no, we just figuring it out. No.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody comes with instruction books. We didn't come with an instruction book, and, you know, our kids didn't either. So, it's just, I know, it's a lot of trial and error. I mean, obviously, for all of us, I always, you know, what worked for my kid may not work for yours. And, you know, I think that's important. I always feel like, especially with new babies, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, like, oh, they're doing this, so you definitely need to do this. And, you know, everybody's got an answer, but it's trial and error. I mentioned earlier that it was funny to me to watch the parents coming in and for baby dedication this morning, and how, you know, I could see some of them, they were just wheeling in at that last minute trying to get in here, and how stressed they looked. And I totally remember those moments, and just being like, you know, Andy, do you remember that when it's like, okay.
I remember it like yesterday, 12 and 14 years old. It never stops.
It's like, did you get the diaper bag? Did you get the diapers? Did you get the, you know, you've got to leave home with the suitcase because you've got to make sure you have everything. And so, yeah.
When she said that, all I could think about was Travis Key and Michelle Key, who has two twins. Basically, Travis is carrying one like a football, and the grandmama's got Similac in this arm, and she's trotting around and got a bottle in this hand. I'm like, takes like a whole entire village to take care of two kids. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. Well, today, these days are radically different than back when I was growing up. When we were growing up, you know, me and Molly were like, they called us the latchkey kids in the 80s because both parents had to work. And we ended up having to basically, you know, grow up on our own in a sense. That's probably why a lot of our generation is probably a lot more independent and stubborn than most other generations. But I remember Molly at the age of 10 was cooking for the whole entire family and stuff. And while Mom and them were at work, and then we'd have all our friends over and we'd cook for them, and we weren't supposed to let friends in the house. And then Mom and Dad would whip our tail because we used to spank back then too. And
that reminds me of a story.
Oh, tell us
this
story.
An impromptu story.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you know this. I don't know why I just
Don't get me in trouble. I'm going to get a spanking at 46.
Like during the summer, when we would stay home by ourselves during the summer, and we would just, I mean, we're just kids. You'd get on the bikes and go ride. You know, you just do whatever.
We rode bikes all over, like 5, 10. How many of you rode bicycles when y'all was like all over the place? Is this the older people crowd?
Yes,
listen, how many of you would let your kids do that today? Throw your hands up. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all still got, listen, when I say all around, I'm talking about 10 miles away from the house at the age of 11. Caleb Hayes ain't going down the street and around the block. There's too many people texting, number one. And number two, Caleb don't know how to get back. He would never find his way home.
We had done something, and I don't remember what it was, but I was in trouble. Mother was at work, and we were at home, and my friend, I had a best friend, and her brother came and brought her over, and she'd come over and stay during the day. And then he'd come back after football practice and pick her up and take her back home. And I don't know what we did. We got in trouble. One of them called, either Andy called and told on me.
No, you told on me all the time.
But anyway, mother was mad and she got up and left work during lunch to come home to beat me. And I had, so my friend was at, we weren't supposed to have friends in the house, but I had a friend at the house, and then I find out mother's coming home to beat me. Well, we couldn't drive, like the brother dropped her off. And so she hid in the closet while my mother beat me. And then my mother got back and went back to work. And so then she goes out of the closet, we play the rest of the afternoon.
God, you make mom sound like
that. That was almost as bad as when I had to go to school and get Ellery, and she's not in this service, so I can say it, from school because she was fighting in the lunchroom.
Yeah, Jesus, we won't talk about
Ellery
that.
Ellery didn't want me to say that.
Mom, that's where the filter should come in. We need that anointing back, God.
Sorry.
Jesus changes people's lives. He saves them. It's all good. Now y'all know why I'm so nice. I got beat up every day by three women. But anyway, so when it comes to get started, I guess the question I would ask is, what do you believe is the most difficult part of being a mom? Which it could be a jillion different things. And their answers have already been a little different than the first one. I guess they've had time to think about it. But what's the most difficult part of being a mom?
I still go with my first answer. It was keeping a balance in everything, between work, home, kids, cooking, cleaning, doing everything that you have to do as a mom. I was a married mom for a while, and I was a single mom for a while, and it wasn't easy. I mean, going back to school, trying to better myself, raising the kids, keeping the balance in there was not easy. You get so caught up in surviving your life and going with your kids and doing what you have to do that you forget to take time for yourself. You forget to take time for each child individually. You forget to take time for God and quiet times with Him. And having that balance, and the kids were in church. We were in church constantly, every time the door was open. But that balance was extremely hard for me.
So what would you say?
I found that balance by coming home at lunch and beating me.
So what would you say to the ladies in this room that feel overwhelmed with?
Always take time for yourself. Find some time in your day for yourself, for time with God, to be able to sit and be quiet, to be able to read your Bible. If you have to get up early before the kids do it. It's all, as Molly said earlier, it's all priority. It's being intentional in your life, making sure you do that. Your kids are gonna grow up. They're gonna leave home. If they're your total life now, what are you gonna do when they leave? You've got to find that balance for yourself. You've got to know who you are.
Come on.
The hardest thing I think for me being a parent is that there's this part where you don't like to see your children go through something and your children hurt. And so there's this over-parenting and this over-control of wanting to guide and move their every step and their every single decision in their life. But if we go and we control every single move and every single moment, then God doesn't have an opportunity to come in and be God in their lives. And so from the day they were born, my husband and I prayed that they would have their own God moments and that they wouldn't live off of our God moments and the stories that they heard us tell, but they would have their own stories to tell. But if they never saw pain, then they never knew what it meant to fall on their face before the Lord and be able to reach heaven. And if they never saw the pain, then they wouldn't understand what an answered prayer was. And they wouldn't understand the joy and the celebration on the other end of that. And if I never let them make a decision and make a right move, then they didn't get to hear us celebrate with them and have the Lord say, you know, good job. So I think for me, wanting to control them so much, what's very, very, very difficult is backing off and allowing them to move forward and knowing when you know there's a mistake coming and you know that there's pain coming and you know that there's a place to where they're going to stand in the crossroads and they're going to have to call out for God. But the truth of the matter is that that's where we want them, and we want to teach them how to call out for God. And so it's been hard for me to let them do that.
Is it harder when they get older and they start moving out and independent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I remember dropping my oldest son off at college when we left him for college. When we got ready to come home, we told him, bye, you're hugging, you know, you got him moved into the dorm room, and we don't want to embarrass him, so we're just going to kind of, you know, do this a little bit, you know, in front of all the millions of kids that were being dropped off. And so we kind of put our arm around him, and he comes around and wraps both arms, you know, and squeezes as tight as you can. You're like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And so, you know, we kiss him out, and I turn, and my husband grabs my hand, and he says, walk. And as I'm walking faster, 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 like, get to the car as fast as you can. And So we go, we get to the car, and we leave, and we drive off, and we go to the first exit and get off of the gas station. And I go into the gas station, and I drop $35 on junk food. And I have all my salties over here, and then a bunch of sweets over here, and I'm just sitting in the front seat, just going, you know, I'm just cramming the food in, and my husband's like, what is wrong? I'm like, what if I didn't tell him everything he's supposed to know? What if I didn't teach him how to do this? What if I didn't? And he's like, he knows how to find the Lord, and that's what you taught him. And I'm like, yeah, but what if? And he's like, he knows your telephone number, and he can call you. But and then he finally said, I should have just bought you alcohol. It would have been cheaper, and we'd have got this over with. But anyway, those moments, that it's very, very
those
difficult.
Real moments.
But when you see them making the right choices, and now he's graduated college, and he's living in Nashville, and he's paying his own bills, and paying his own rent, amen. You know, the moment that he picks up his own car insurance, praise God. You know, all those great moments where you're proud of him. And they still make mistakes, but you still say, you know how to find God, and he's still listening. And all you have to, you know, you need to go find him.
I think one thing being difficult as a mom is trying, ladies, probably more so, maybe when your kids are younger or more involved, and, you know, you're still responsible for so much. They're not quite as independent yet, but it's just, especially if you're married and, you know, is trying to keep your husband first above your kids, it's always so easy to just put the focus on them. And that's just a constant battle. I don't know that that's ever honestly overcome, but it's just a constant battle to just check yourself with and know, that, hey, you know, I've been focusing way more on the kids, and I've got to focus on my marriage.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Focus on my relationship with my spouse. So,
Jeez, I'm about to pull out the tambourine and the flag. I'm just kidding. She's awesome. She's great.
So, but it is, like I said, I mean, it's a constant thing. It's not something that, you know, we like, oh, okay, you know, I've got this down pat. It's constant, because your kids are constantly in different stages of life, and you're busy, or you're, you know, one place or another, and so you just have to constantly check yourself on that. I think that's a difficult part.
Come on. So with all there's that, we got students in here, and we got some kids in here. What do moms want their kids to know about parenting? Like, if you just tell you, this is what I want, and you want them to get it, you want them to grasp hold of what's being said. What is it that moms want their kids to know about parenting?
It's not easy.
Okay, I thought that was it. Okay, yeah.
No, it's not easy. Y'all don't come with a manual. When we started having kids, we didn't know what we were doing. I babysat, but you know.
They come with grandparents. I mean, they come with like your parents. How about parents? Parents feel like they're the manual.
I didn't want my parents.
Well, neither did we, but y'all did a great job of telling us how to do it. But anyway, it's all good.
But the thing I want to say is, we learned from our parents learned from their parents learned from their parents. And it doesn't necessarily mean it was right, and it doesn't mean that we learned the right way. So when you see that, hey, what they did's not right, change it. Be brave enough to change it. Get rid of that generational curse. You don't have
Come
to
on.
Do what they did.
Come on.
Do what's right. Get in a small group of young people who have kids just like you or your age or whatever, talk to them, find out. You may not like what they do, so do what you want to do. But make sure that you make the right decisions for your family and your children, but you don't have to do it alone. And we didn't have to, but some of us chose to.
You know, I would say, going off what Mom said, and this just goes for moms, dads, period, you know, a lot of times, a lot of us harbor bitterness towards their parents sometimes, towards a mom or towards a dad. And number one, God's called us to forgive them if they've hurt you. And there's a great possibility there's a lot of people in this room that your parents are probably the ones that's hurt you the most. Good possibility. Then some of you got phenomenal parents, and, you know, it's absolutely great, and you learn some incredible stuff. But what I would say for those that's been hurt by your parents, you really probably have no clue how they were probably hurt with their parents, and that's the only way they knew how to parent.
That's right.
And so basically they were doing the exact same thing that their parents did to them. And it might be alcohol, it might be anger, it might be whatever, and they did not know how to forgive. And what I would challenge you with is, you know, everybody says they grow up to be their parents. I would say you don't have to in Jesus' name.
That's right.
I would say you could break that generational curse and you can stop now and you can allow the Holy Spirit to teach you how to be the parent God's called you to be for your parent, for your babies. Right. Break that curse. Break that curse. You could break that curse. And I'm telling you, God will use you and your kids. You'll start a new lineage. You'll start something new and fresh with your babies. They'll learn something that you didn't learn, but you can stop it. Because, listen, your parents might not have been a great parent, and they might not know how to parent great. But I will tell you this, God knows how to be a great parent. The Spirit of God living in you knows how to be a great parent. So that's why you need to walk with God and allow the Spirit of God to teach you how to be a great parent. Will you fail on the way? Yes. But we, because we understand forgiveness, grace, and mercy, because we serve a great God that forgives us, gives us grace and mercy, we know how to show that to our kids, all right, and to walk in that. And it's an absolutely amazing way. I'm about to start preaching. Molly, what you got? You got something?
Molly, what was the question?
Okay, I'm sorry. What do moms want their kids to know about parenting? For all the kids in here, this is what your mom wants you to know.
I have no idea what I'm doing, and the only thing that I know how to do is to cry out to God for you. I pray for you every single day of your life. There's not a day that I haven't. I want what's best for you. I don't want to intentionally hurt you. But I don't know what I'm doing either. And so I'll make mistakes. And when I say I'm sorry, I mean it. When I say absolutely not, I mean it. Because I've been there before. And I don't want to see you get hurt. But I think that all I know how to do is love you with everything that I have. And all I know how to do is tell you how to find the Lord and tell you that He loves you with everything you have. And we're just going to kind of hope everything else works itself out in the middle.
That's good.
See, he's over there. See, I told him out loud. Hey.
You got some?
I think it's important to let our kids know that we don't have the answers for everything. And, sometimes it's, you know, fun to put on a front and act like we do. And, you know, especially when the kids are at that stage and they constantly ask why about everything, every answer you give them, there's a why, and then they have another why. But I think it's okay to let them wonder, and then sometimes they have to make those tough decisions themselves and get hurt in the process, but be there to, you know, to love them through those decisions that they did make. But it's, parenting's not easy, and I'm at a totally different stage than Molly, and a lot of you are at a totally different stage that I am, and it's just, you know, everything that we do, honestly, we all mess up, but getting through it and learning from it is the biggest part of it, so, and that's a constant.
Come on. So, if you could sit down with every mom, just one-on-one, in this place, and give her some advice, what would it be? If you just sit down and give some advice to mamas in the house, what would it be? You wanna go first, Molly?
Yeah, sure. I think I'd say loosen up a little bit. I was the type of person that wanted my children to be the best that I knew that they could be. Not really better than anybody else's kids, but be what I knew that they had the potential and the purpose to be. And sometimes kids, you know, don't necessarily want to do that. But there were so many things that I was so headstrong about that I wanted them to do. One particular thing comes to mind, but my youngest son wore pajamas until he was like 14 years old. Like everywhere he went, he wore pajamas.
And boots.
And cowboy boots.
Yes, and he pulled them up.
And he would pull them all the way up here, and he'd tuck his shirt in.
You could see his belly button.
And pull them all the way up, and he would want to go everywhere. Like, it didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter if we were going to a restaurant. It didn't matter if we were going to a grocery store. It didn't matter if we were going to a friend's house. He wanted to be, and I would, like, nearly killed him to try to get him to change clothes. And then today, I'd probably just let him wear his pajamas. He'll wear his little onesie. He'll just grow out of it. My oldest one used to wear superhero capes everywhere. He wanted to go... He had a red cape and a blue cape and a yellow cape and a black cape. And, we had all these capes. And so everywhere we went, every time we went to Walmart, they were wearing capes.
He did that last week at Applebee's.
Yeah, it would embarrass
me. He's 26, Molly.
But today, I'd let him wear a cape because it's really not that big of a deal, you know, on whether or not he wears his cape or not. So I think for the moms, too, I don't think that you're supposed to know all the answers. I don't think that you're supposed to be able to do it by yourself. I don't think that God created us to be parents by ourselves. And so I say you reach out and you find somebody that's a parent this way. You find somebody in this church that have kids the same age that you do. You join small groups and you build some of the greatest relationships with some of the greatest people. And you figure out that they're kind of messing it up along the way too. And you kind of pull from each other. And then I think you find somebody this way. You know, and you find somebody that you can call and trust and they can pour into you and tell you all the things that they did that worked and the things that they did that didn't work, and somebody that you feel comfortable calling.
And they're not going to judge you.
No. So I think you just kind of chill out and relax a little bit and take the pressure off and just enjoy living life.
Come on.
Enjoy your kids.
Yeah. Well, mine, yeah, goes along with that. I just think it's important to pick our battles, you know, with our kids. You know, everything's not worth fighting over. And, you know, you don't want to totally ruin your relationship with your child, nitpicking at every little thing. And so I just think it's important just to think, what's important? Is this worth, you know, arguing about? Is this worth, you know, putting my foot down over? Or, you know, is it okay to just, you know, give in a little right here? I mean, I just think that helps strengthen your relationship in the process.
There's something that I wanted to say, and I didn't say in the last service.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that God, you would just protect my mom's tongue.
No, he wants me to say this, and I don't know why.
Okay.
This is, you know, I'm older.
Oh, boy, that's even worse. Don't throw that out there.
So I can look back on things in hindsight, and I can look at things in my life, in the kids' life, and through the years, in hindsight, and I can see this thread of God that's gone through it. And there's been so many times that I've thought that I have made a mistake. I really have screwed this up. I have made a mistake. But there are no mistakes with God.
Come on.
And I want all of you, young people, young mothers, single mothers, all of you families, to know there are no mistakes with God. And no matter what you're going through, there's a reason for it. And he's got a plan. And you may not know what that plan was. What I have ever thought, when Andy was making me laugh when I wanted to spank him, and was just...
Usually you wanted me to pull my pants down. I was 16, so you can spank my hiney. That was not good.
Well, that's what we did. You just, you know, did I think... this is who he would be? Did I think this is who Molly would be? Did I know what God was going to be using Ellery for? No. Did I think the mistakes that I made, I couldn't make those. I couldn't make that decision because God has a plan for every one of your children, for you, for your grandchildren, and you need to realize that God is in control. And he's going to take care of you and your family. And you don't have a clue what blessings you're going to get. And just love, love, love those kids all the time and let them know you love them.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main things. Listen, if you're a parent here, especially men, and it may be women too, but I know men struggle with this. If you've got a child, I would challenge you to tell your baby you love them every single day. There are men in here that never had a dad tell them they love them, and it just feels awkward and it feels weird for you. But don't get to be 60 years old, 70 years old, 50 years old and regret that. Hey, go ahead and get over your pride now. Go ahead and get over the awkwardness. It's going to be really, really awkward. And tell your babies you love them every single day. And how much of a blessing. And speak life into them. Let you go. I'm about to get choked up. I'm about to say something. Go ahead. You got something? I hope so, because I got to get over this.
No. Yeah, I think it's very important. Andy talked about this in the last service, too, just being able to also, you know, even, I feel like it's harder with men sometimes, too, but to be able to ask for forgiveness from your kids, too, because we do mess up as parents. I mean, we mess up every day, and just to let them know, just to, you know, that we're teaching them a life lesson by learning, you know, that we're still learning and that they can see that. They can see that, hey, we don't have it all together. And, you know, by asking them to forgive us for things that we do.
Is that it? What I was going to try to say, and I'm going to try to say it, is something the Lord has taught me to do. Probably, I'm not crying, I'm losing my voice right now. I'm a man.
Yeah, we know that, Andy.
I'm just real awkward. It's hard for me to cry, by the way, sometimes. The Lord's put in my spirit to start speaking prophetic words over my children. And so every day, I've started trying to tell them face to face, if you're a daughter of the Most High, Caleb, you're a son of the King. If you're anointed by God, Caleb, you're anointed by God to do great things. God has not raised you up to be a follower. God has raised you up to be a leader. God has ordained you to change the world. God has ordained you not to be average. God has got a calling on your life. And I proclaim in Jesus' name that you will both live it out. And I a lot of times cry like I am right now, and maybe when they get out of the car. And I've tried to do that more over the last several weeks, because he does. But they need to hear it. They need to know that God has ordained your child just like he has mine. Not just because I'm a preacher, he's ordained your child to be an heir of the King and a child of God. And you start speaking that life into his power in words. There's power in words. God has ordained your babies to be heirs of the Most High, of the King. And you will represent him well. You wear his name more than you wear my name. And you will do great things for the Kingdom of God. And so, to say all that, that was not what we did the first service. But what I will say, I want to challenge you. Moms, personally pursue the Lord. I'm not a mom, but I'm just a parent. God will give you the direction you need to go. I'd encourage you to relax. I'd encourage you to learn to communicate. Communicate. And it's hard. That's not easy. And then I would challenge you, don't raise your kids alone. Listen, it takes a village. Yes, we had 25 babies in it. This place was packed the first service. I mean, it was slam packed. We had grandmas and grandpas with earplugs in their ear because it was too loud. We had aunts and uncles and siblings all up in the house in here. And man, the intermediate family, man, it's all our jobs to raise these babies, raise these kids. But you know what? It takes a church family. It's church family to raise these babies too. And we need each other. We need, that's why it's so important that you get in a small group. You know, one of the questions we ask earlier, we don't have time to ask. You know, I asked them earlier, what are some things you do for fun? What are things you enjoyed? And mom says she enjoyed going to the ballpark and going to three different ballparks to watch all her kids play ball. And there's one if they're going to make it to the next one. And Molly said, man, she just loved it whenever every single dinner we're going to sit still today. We're going to sit at the table and we're going to just enjoy each other's presence. You're going to put your phones away. And that's what we do. Me and Leah talked about how much we loved watching Caleb play baseball, and she talked about how much she loves laying in the bed watching Netflix with Avery. I mean, our kids are different, and we spend different times, different ways with them and stuff. And you know, me and Leah talked about like, you know, small groups have helped us a ton. And one of our small groups just happened by chance is we got a baseball family, and the majority of our baseball team comes to our church, and it's like a family. I mean, and we take care of each other's kids. And when I have somebody call me and says, hey, can you pick up my kid? Can you take him somewhere? Like, yeah, 100%, because I almost look at them like my child, and I know for a fact that they'll take my kid and run them around. And it's just, and you know, it takes a village. It takes all of us. That's why we need each other. Don't do this thing by yourself. There's small groups all around you. We got small group leadership today. If you want to help lead something for single moms or lead something for moms, man, we need you. Mamas need you to let each other know, like, hey, this is where I made a mistake. This is where we can get better. You know, whatever it takes. But I want to challenge you, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Speak life into your babies, okay? Y'all got anything y'all want to close with? Y'all good? All right, I'm going to close this out because I'm tired of crying. My throat hurts. Father, we love you.